And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. It's a pleasure to be with you as always. Thank you so much for your prayers, your support, your contributions to our network, and to all that the American Family Association does to try to serve the body of Christ and serve our country. We appreciate you so very, very much. Well, look, one thing I want to announce to you is that on May the 16th, that's a Friday evening, we are going to have our annual Stand Awards dinner, which some of you have attended, some of you have participated in, some of you have helped sponsor. Want to make you aware of that. It's coming up again on May the 16th. It's going to be at Cornerstone Chapel in Loudoun County, Virginia. And I hope that all of you will be praying for us and that those of you who can will come and be a part of it. We have got some great honorees. We're honoring Moms for Liberty and their founders, Tiffany Justice and Tina Deskovich. We're honoring Walter Hoy. Some of you may know him. Walter Hoy is an outstanding pro-life leader. Again, one of these people who just does so much, often behind the scenes, not getting a lot of recognition for it, but I know what a premier pro-life leader he has been for decades. We're honoring Kevin Freeman. Some of you know Kevin Freeman because, of course, Kevin Freeman has a program here on American Family Radio, and he has been for years talking about inflation that's just eroded much of our spending power and sadly continues to do so. I think that the Trump administration will get this under control, but it was an economic boondoggle, spending all that money, devaluing the dollar, and putting all of us at tremendous risk and under this tremendous financial pressure with the increase in groceries and gasoline and home heating energy and everything basically skyrocketing in price. I can tell you folks that I have certainly felt it myself, and thank God. I mean, I'm not poor by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, when you before inflation, talk about, say, for example, replacing a heating system, and they're talking $8,000, and then after inflation, they're talking $12,000. You feel it. You know the difference. And so folks like Kevin Freeman have been on the forefront of talking about how we maintain the value of our money, what we need to do as individuals, what government needs to be doing, and talking a lot, too, of course, about the importance of having money that's linked to an absolute standard, which is gold, rather than just floating paper that has no basis in reality other than the value that we give it and the value that the marketplace gives it. And we found out during inflation, well, when that value starts to fluctuate, it can be extremely painful. Well, here's another one. Let's see, who am I leaving out? But we've just got some tremendous honorees. Oh my goodness, I cannot forget Robert Woodson. Some of you may know Robert Woodson, others may not, but Robert Woodson is really, Robert Woodson is in the ilk of the Thomas Sowell and Walter Williams of the world. He is one of those elder black conservative statesmen who has been on the front lines for a long, long time. And is now in his 80s, and we really want to acknowledge him. So we're giving out the George Washington Award for taking a stand to all of these great leaders that I've just named. I think I've just gone off the top of my head, but I think I have shared all of them with you. I don't think I've left any. Oh, I did leave somebody out that you all would know, as a matter of fact, of course that you would know, which is Stacey Washington. Stacey Washington is a former talk show host for American Family Radio. She's now with Sirius, but she's another person that we're honoring at this great event. So I hope that all of you will see fit to pray for us And of course, those of you who can will buy tickets, sponsor, come out and be a part of it. It is the most important fundraiser for Stan annually, and we're grateful to God for it. But we get to do something that we think is important, which is to recognize the work of others, to recognize that our country can't be saved by us alone, by me alone, by you alone. It's going to take all of us working together. It's going to take us recognizing how God is using each of us. And that's what the Stand Awards Dinner really tries to do, tries to recognize the work of other great patriots who are on the front lines trying to help save this country. So please have that in mind. That's, again, Friday, May the 16th, 7 p.m. at Cornerstone Chapel. And I'll have more details for you as the weeks pass. Okay, with that done, I have something extremely important to talk to you about. And it's not the norm. I've alluded to this, but I want to go into it in some depth today. Just before I do want to acknowledge the grace and the miraculous intervention of Almighty God in that air crash that took place in Toronto. 80 people escaped, not a single lost life, not a single one. And I'm sure that, as I have, you all have seen those videos of that plane crashing. And you watch that fireball go up from the back of it. And if you didn't know from whatever reporting is telling you what actually happened, you'd think everybody on that plane is gone. Because it really looked like the flames engulfed the plane. But somehow every single person walked out of there. In fact, my understanding is that even the people who were injured are already out of the hospital. So that nobody was put in critical condition. Nobody was seriously injured. And that is nothing but the grace of Almighty God, folks. People are very quick to blame God when some tragedy happens. It was an act of God. Why did God do that? I really believe we need to be giving God credit for when something happens in the normal course of life. I mean, planes are not perfect. Pilots are not perfect. And while flying is comparatively a very, very safe way to travel, it has an element of danger in it, because if something goes wrong, you've got a big vehicle moving at very, very fast speed, and it can't pull over and park to see what's wrong. You can't pull over and open the hood and find out what's going on. And it's got to come out of that sky one way or the other. And presumably every time it comes out safely and lands safely and smoothly and everybody goes on about their business. We've seen here recently a number of these incidents happening in which plane crashes. I think there have been four of them just in the last couple of weeks. But this one is really, this is one for the record books. And I thank God for those folks that we don't have to pray for their loved ones who are mourning their deceased loved ones. We can thank God for all of them having been able to get out of that plane safely, and praise God for it. It does tell me, though, I think that we are probably finally seeing the chickens coming home to roost. Maybe not in this particular incident, although there are some questions about this one, too, because the crosswinds, the plane apparently has a 27-mile-an-hour crosswind limit, and it can't land if the crosswinds are more than that. They were getting wind gusts of up to 39 miles an hour, I believe. The plane can't land in that kind of crosswind, so there's some kind of issue that needs to be explored. Was he given the right advice when he was cleared to land with those kinds of crosswinds? They do say that these regional airplanes are flown by less experienced pilots who are trying to get their hours up so that they can fly the bigger planes. So when you get on a regional plane, you are likely being flown by a less experienced pilot. I'm sure most of them are very, very good, but they're not the top pilots, because the top pilots are flying the much, much bigger aircraft. So to what extent was it pilot error? To what extent was it air traffic control error? Or to what extent was it just nobody's error at all? It's just one of those terrible things that happened, even though everybody did exactly what they were supposed to do and everything was done by the book. We don't know yet. We'll have to wait for the facts. But I think that the entire AFA needs to be looked at to see what extent it has been infiltrated, to what extent it has been in any way had its quality diminished by DEI principles and ideas, rather than focusing strictly on excellence and ability and character and stability and all of that. I mean, when you hear that they're trying to hire people with mental illness to work in an air traffic control tower, it gives you the chills. You think, what is going on? Well, that's the perfect segue into what I really want to talk to you about today. You've seen and heard the consternation, the hysteria, the madness being expressed by Democrats, I was going to say, appropriate, by the Democrats and by the left over what President Trump is doing through GOGE, what he is doing through this government efficiency operation that is being led by Elon Musk. And I'm sure you've seen some of the rallies. They're gathering together. They're dropping the F-bombs. They're cursing everybody out. They're accusing Donald Trump once again of being a dictator, and Elon Musk is this, that, and the other. I mean, they're calling these people everything but children of God. And I'm sure you've seen all that. And yet, when you look at what they're ferreting out, when you look at what they're doing, I mean, with $36 trillion in debt. Our debt service is already $250 billion a year. I don't know how any sane person can think that's okay. You and I could not live that way. Our budget now is about $6.75 trillion a year. Our national budget. If we're paying, and right now they're looking over the next several years, if these interest rates don't diminish dramatically, we could be paying $1 trillion a year in interest. $1 trillion a year. I mean, that's 1/6, 1/7 of our entire budget would be going strictly to service debt. And by the way, that's not paying principal. That's not paying the debt down, folks. That is paying only interest on the debt. Which means you're not reducing your debt at all. You all know what I'm talking about. You know what it is. A credit card tells you all you got to pay the interest, and you know, or the interest in a little bit more. And in 50 years, you'll have the credit card paid off. How any sane person could think this is okay is beyond me. And that's what I want to address, that these are not sane people. They're really not. Not in the sense that you and I think of sanity. So, I mean, consider this, for example. This woman on Face the Nation, she's interviewing, she was interviewing Marco Rubio, Secretary of State, Secretary Rubio. And she is complaining about the speech that J.D. Vance gave in Europe to the Europeans, telling them that we have got to hold to our democratic values, not Democrat values, democratic values of free speech, for example, because that's who we are, and we're supposed to protect that because Europe is running away from that. Europe is running away from freedom of speech, and they're beginning to put restrictions on speech and locking people up and fining people and all of this because they're saying things that they don't want them to say. So if you say something against homosexuality, you say something against all this gender rebellion that people are all caught up in, you could get into serious trouble. And he was setting the record straight for them and letting them know, you know, we Americans believe in free speech. Well, most of us do. Sadly, we got a few who don't. Well, this this woman on Face the Nation, what's her name? I think it's Margaret Benson, something like that. She says the following to him, Margaret Brennan. She says the following to Marco Rubio. In effect, and I think I can find the quote earlier on. I was trying to find it for another program. Couldn't quite get my hands on it, but I think I've got it this time. But she said, in effect, what about here? In fact, here's the exact quote. We're talking about J.D. Vance, okay? He was speaking in Germany at the time. She says, quote, well, he was standing in a country where free speech was weaponized to conduct a genocide. And he met with the head of a political party that has far-right views and some historic ties to extreme groups, blah, 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 blah. Marco Rubio said, well, I have to disagree with you. I have to disagree. He said free speech was not used to conduct a genocide. Now, look, I don't have to explain this to you. She's basically saying that as a result of free speech, Hitler was able to rise up and commit genocide against the Jewish people and a bunch of others as well. I mean, he tried to kill the sick people. He tried to kill people who were mentally ill. He tried to kill Polish people. I mean, he was just on a genocidal tear, with the Jews being his primary target, no question. But the man was just a bloodthirsty, genocidal maniac. She thinks that Hitler rose to power because of free speech. Now, I just want you to pause and just consider that for a moment. Here is somebody who is a prominent journalist in our country. I don't know who she is because I don't watch Face the Nation. I don't watch the Alphabet networks because I know they're liars. But nevertheless, a lot of people do watch it. So she's a prominent journalist, and she thinks that it was free speech that allowed Hitler to commit genocide against the Jewish people and others. You know, you have to ask yourself the question, could she possibly be that ignorant of history? Because everybody knows Hitler made clear to his followers part of his whole program was to shut down all opposition. And that process began with his brown shirts beating people up and attacking people and doing whatever they needed to do in order to stop anybody from speaking who was not in agreement with the National Socialist Party. Or when he started out with the German Workers' Party. I mean, they were leftists. So he wanted to destroy the communists because he felt anybody who was competing with him for power, he wanted to destroy. He wanted to silence first and destroy if he could. Freedom of speech? The weaponization of freedom of speech led to a genocide? And you think, how could someone who is that ignorant of history be that prominent a journalist? Now, of course, you could ask the question, is she really that ignorant of history, or is she just lying and because she thinks other people are too stupid to know the difference and because it helps her agenda? Here's what I think, folks. Here's what I think. I think a lot of these people, I think she's one of them, are genuinely brainwashed. And I really believe that we have got to think of these people. And I'm not talking about some sort of mealy-mouthed sympathy. I'm talking about, as they say, realpolitik. I'm talking about looking at this for what it really is. These people really are brainwashed members of a cult. They really are. Now, they accuse you and me of being members of a cult. You know, you support Donald Trump. You're a cult member. Of course, those of you who know me and heard me, you've heard me disagree with Donald Trump on more than one occasion. Yes, I absolutely support Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump. I work for Donald Trump. My organization ran 900 ads for Donald Trump. Doesn't mean I agree with everything he says. And people say, well, if you don't agree with everything he says, why do you support him? Because I love his policies. And I like a lot of what he says, by the way. A lot of what he says, I'm just cheering it on. But not always. I'm not blindly following Donald Trump as if, well, Donald Trump has no flaws, like Donald Trump's a Messiah. He's not the Messiah. Jesus is. And you and I know that. But you see, they don't understand that what drives us is not the personality of Donald Trump, although there's no question, I really believe God has uniquely gifted him for this moment in history. But what drives us is the principles, the values, the ideals we believe in, and we support people who represent those values and those ideals. And Donald Trump has come along as one of those people who support our values and support of our ideals. And so what? He garners our loyalty. He garners our support. They want to make it seem like we're just a bunch of dumb lemmings. And, you know, Donald Trump spoke and I didn't have a thought in my empty head. And he spoke and put something in there. I said, oh, okay, Donald Trump has spoken. We bow down. This is the picture that they paint of us. And it's not only because they hate Donald Trump, it's because they really think so little of us, of us as conservatives, as constitutionalists, as Christians. They really think so little of us that they have this caricature of who we really are. I mean, they would say the same thing about Rush Limbaugh, may rest in peace. And I would say to people, people don't listen to Rush Limbaugh because they were sitting around like a bunch of empty-headed idiots, and suddenly Rush Limbaugh spoke, and they said, oh, Rush Limbaugh has spoken. I like his voice. I follow Rush Limbaugh. No. What we were doing was talking to each other and saying to each other, you know, how much we disagree with some of the things we're seeing and hearing that our government is doing. And along comes Rush Limbaugh on a national platform, and he's speaking the things we were already thinking. I remember my wife and I, we just fell in love with Rush Limbaugh. We said, finally, here's somebody saying what we think. You know? They think that we're just a bunch of puppets who somebody says something, and we just go, we don't know what to think. We just go along with it. We have our own thoughts. We have our own ideas. We have our own philosophy. We have our own convictions. And when people express agreement with those convictions, of course, we gravitate to those people. We're not cult followers. We are rational, reasonable people with a set of ideals and convictions that when someone is willing to express those ideals and convictions in a public platform who is giving voice to what we believe, of course we support that person. You know, I tell you, with the left, I really think it's something different. Because, of course, they accuse us of these things, but they're the ones, because the things that they have come to believe, the things that they have expressed, don't make any sense. You can argue about what the level of security of the border. You can even argue, if you're one of these doctrinaire leftist, communist, globalist types, that, well, the border shouldn't really matter. Well, you can argue that. But you can also rationally argue that we are a sovereign nation. We have established legal borders. We have a right to control those borders, and people should not be able to come into our country except with our permission. And by the methodology we have set forth by law for their entry. And when they come any other way, we have a right to put them out. I mean, you might not like that, but that's a perfectly rational approach, right? Every other country in the world thinks it is. But you've got leftists who think, oh, no. You can't do that. Why, you must be a racist. You must be anti-Hispanic. You must be xenophobic. The stuff that they believe doesn't make any sense. So they're all up in arms about all the wasted spending that Donald Trump and Elon Musk are discovering and revealing to us. They're all up in arms about that. And you have to ask the question, so are you telling me that you agree with and support, because this is the only conclusion I can come to, that you agree with and support giving $22 billion to illegal immigrants so they can buy houses and buy cars and be put up in luxury hotels and be flown to wherever they want to go. I mean, are you telling me you think that's a good and valid and appropriate use of $22 billion of taxpayer money? Are you telling me that it's appropriate to take $10 million and send it to Mozambique, so that men who want to get circumcised can get circumcised? You're telling me that we ought to spend $32 million on the Prague Civil Society Center? I don't even know what that is. Do you? Or $486 million on a consortium for elections and political process strengthening? Not in America. Not in America, where the Democrats want to cheat every chance they get. They don't want anything that gets in the way of their cheating. But we're supposed to spend $500 million on election integrity in other places. And how about this one, folks? $600 million in teacher grants. We have now become, we are at the lowest rung of industrialized nations in terms of the effective education of our people. And we were about to spend $600 million for teacher training, not in math, not in science, not in reading, not in writing, but in order for them to learn how to dismantle racial bias and to create centering equity in the classroom. Again, centering equity, I don't even know what that means. Do you? I can tell you what I can guess. It means, for the black kid, the Hispanic kid, we know 2 + 2 = 4, but they're too dumb to get that. So let's make 2 + 2 = 5 for them, or whatever number they come up with. Not because those kids are too dumb to understand math and to learn math, but because this is the left stereotype of who they are. And so they want to dumb them down to the level of their own condescending perspective on who they are. You say, well, you know, black people they can't read and write well. So let's just let them do Ebonics. Y'all remember that, Ebonics? It's where these leftists came up with the idea that, you know, we shouldn't expect black people to speak proper English because, after all, they're black. They should be able to speak a kind of a shucking and jiving, whatever kind of, you know, patois. That's their language. We live in the United States of America. Our language is English, and it has rules for how it's spoken. And either you speak it or you don't. But no. We can't impose that kind of standard on those poor people. We got to let them speak however they want to speak. Yeah, well, when you go for an interview and you're asked a rational question about something, I guess you're supposed to shuck and jive your way through that. I mean, this stuff, folks, is deadly. But the fact that they really believe this, the fact that they really believe that an American who happens to be of African ancestry should not speak English, should not be required to do the same math, should not be required to meet the same scientific standards if they're studying science as other people, namely, not to put too fine a point on it, white people, because it's just not equitable. Folks, in what universe does that kind of thinking make sense? In what universe? Look, we just had a case here in Virginia. This is right hot off the presses. The news just broke today. A guy, right? This is a grown man, right? Who says he's a woman. I saw a picture of the guy. He's got a beard. He says he's a woman. He was arrested for exposing himself at a high school, I believe it was a high school, to women and girls. But the George Soros prosecutor up in that area decided that he didn't deserve to be prosecuted because, after all, I mean, that it wouldn't be equitable. The guy proceeded to go to multiple high schools and places where women and girls were gathered and to expose himself over and over and over again. He even, if I'm not mistaken, attempted rape a couple of times. Well, the Attorney General of Virginia has finally stepped in and said, no, we're going to bring him to justice. But just think of how do you arrive at the point where you believe that it is okay for a guy, because he says he's a woman, to allow him to run around to schools traumatizing young girls and women by exposing himself and attempting to sexually assault them. It doesn't make any sense. And here's how we have to understand this. These people are really members of an unofficial, unnamed cult. The official name of it is actually the Democrat Party. I'd call it the Democrat Party, but that's the official name of it. Because look, when people actually join a godless cult, and these cults are demonic, and they begin to believe things. I mean, for example, you know, you see cults where guys are members of the cult and they're turning their daughters over to the cult leader for the cult leader to have sex with. And you men listening to me right now, you're thinking, what? Well, you've heard it. I mean, you've heard these things. You know these things go on. You think, what kind of man would do that? I've said, what if somebody came to me with that nonsense, what I would do? I mean, first of all, it would be exit immediately. If I was even thought I was onto something that had any validity, that would be the end of that. And it would get worse if they pressed the point. But that's cult-like thinking. You and I, normal people, look at it and go, well, that's crazy. That's insane. That's evil. That's wrong. But people who are brainwashed by the cult think, oh, no, 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 no. No, there's something wrong with you. See, you are not sufficiently enlightened. You don't get it. Folks, this is just like what happens with kids. Some kid raised in a decent home, and some of you listening to me right now may have had this experience. I've been close enough to these things that I've seen them. I don't have just read about them. I've seen what these cults do. You got some child raised up in a decent family, loved by mother and father, given every opportunity, dressed well, fed well, educated well, loved, not abused, not mistreated. Kid goes off somewhere, maybe to college, maybe it happens as a result of some friends they're hanging around, and some cult member gets a hold of them and starts love bombing them and telling them how wonderful they are and how great they are and explaining to them how much they've been misled by their church or their pastor or their parents or whatever. And you get them to yourself and you spend a few hours intensely with them over a period of time. And before you know it, the kid's coming back and telling the mother and father how wrong they really are and that they found the answers now in this cult. And the mother and father are now the enemy. He said, wait a minute, how could this be? Because something got inside their brain, got inside their emotions, got inside their heart, if you will, and literally flipped reality on its head. And now they're seeing reality in the exact opposite of what it is. My parents don't love me and don't understand me, but these people do. Donald Trump is cutting taxes. Donald Trump is cutting spending. Donald Trump is cutting regulations. Donald Trump is discovering all kinds of wasteful spending, but he's supposed to be a dictator. Folks, nowhere in the history of the world has anyone who aspired to be a tyrant ever come in and shrunk government. That's not what they do. They expand government because they need the government in order to control everybody. And so they need government everywhere. The tyrant is not the person who says to 80,000 IRS agents, you know, you need to go down to the border and help us manage all these illegal aliens that we're kicking out of our country. No, the tyrant is the person who hires the 80,000 IRS agents and says, now go after those citizens and let them know they better toe the line. Let's find out how much money they're giving to conservative causes. Let's find out how much money they're giving to their churches. I know folks say, well, wait a minute. Is that what they're really going to do? Isn't that what they did under Obama? Remember the big scandal under Obama where they were red flagging all these conservative organizations? They were invalidating their nonprofit status. Look. The things that happened were horrendous. That's what a tyrant does. They were going to the major companies and saying, you better censor what we tell you to censor. That's what a tyrant does. I haven't heard Donald Trump telling anybody they need to censor anybody else. Now, Donald Trump's the type, if you hit at him, he's going to hit back at you, no question about that. But I haven't heard him say, you know, we need to censor the Democrat Party. We need to censor liberals. No, he just says they lack common sense. We need to put the common sense out there and put the truth out there and let the American people decide. And guess what? In the last election, we decided. And we're deciding every day, seeing what is happening. But the cult tells us, oh, no, you people are crazy. Look at this. 63% of the American people say there are only two sexes. 63%. 60% say all illegal aliens should be deported. 60%. 60% say we need to use more oil and gas and we need to produce more oil and gas for energy in our country. And even 59% say almost the same thing, 60%. We need to declare an emergency at the border and do whatever needs to be done to stop the flow. And Donald Trump has just pretty much done that because we're down to about 10% of where we were in terms of people trying to get across the border, which is exactly what I expected. I knew if you do a serious crackdown, there are going to be a lot of people who say, you know what, it's not worth it. I'm not doing that. But Joe Biden threw open the floodgates and invited everybody in. And so, then you know, it was obvious what was going to happen. They were making it possible at every turn. Here's an app. Here's an H-1B visa. I mean, whatever you need, we're going to get you in here. And then we'll buy you a phone and we'll give you a hotel room and we'll transport you to the city of your choice and we'll have a sanctuary city waiting for you. And if you commit a crime, we won't turn you over to police. I mean, it was a wide open invitation. None of it makes any sense. Of course, I know, again, what they're really up to there. I mean, that makes sense in terms of they're trying to create political hegemony for themselves, complete political control, and they believe that these illegal aliens are going to be the key to that for the future. We need to pray for these people because, you know, people don't come out of a cult because they're logically argued out of it. They come out of a cult because they're deprogrammed, because their emotions and their brain is so twisted up and tied up in lies that trying to get them out of a cult is trying to untie a rope with knots so tight that you can barely see them. You can barely get your fingers into the knot to try to undo them. That's why a lot of people, when they come out of these cults, they have nervous breakdowns. Because they're so ashamed of themselves for having been deceived and having allowed themselves to be deceived. There's a great deal of personal guilt. A lot of times they end up having, seriously, folks, post-traumatic stress disorder because of some of the things that they supported, which they know were wrong. you know, there may be some people coming out of the Democrat Party who begin to express this kind of feeling, a kind of angst and anguish, because they realize they were supporting evil and convinced that they were supporting good. So we'll see what the Supreme Court does. I mean, not the Supreme Court, but we'll see what this appeals, this actually district court judge does. I think there was supposed to be a decision to coming down any day now. Maybe by the time you hear this, it's already down. She was expressing some misgivings about trying to restrict the ability of the President of the United States to ferret out all of this waste. That's what the American people elected him for. I don't know how any court would say that somehow it's unconstitutional or exceeds his authority to do it, and he can appoint anybody he wants to get that job done. And if he's appointed Elon Musk to get the job done, then let Elon Musk do the job that the president has appointed him to do. We didn't elect Elon Musk. No, you didn't elect anybody that the president appoints. You elected him. And under his constitutional authority, he gets to appoint the people who are going to work with him. Duh. Folks, I used to call them the Coalition of the Godless. I'm going to start calling them the Cult of the Godless. And the Cult Democrat Party. Because that really is what it is at this point. I mean, notice, you can't even get them to say they agree with cutting the waste. Have you heard of this 50 plus 50 plus 50 plus 50 plus one thing? That, you know, 50 rallies in 50 states, one movement. And you know what? It's a movement right off the cliff into the abyss of hell. Protests about what? Oh, I think we, well, of course, and they would think this. I think we need to spend billions more promoting the so-called LGBTQ agenda all over the world. Well, you may think that, and if you got enough money to do it, feel free to go ahead and do that privately. But you don't get to use the American taxpayer money to promote sin and to promote depravity and to promote degradation. The job of the American government is not to promote somebody's ideological, cultural predisposition to the rest of the world. It is to promote the national security interests of the United States of America. Now, how in the world does promoting the SPCG, sexual perversion, child grooming movement, because that's what it really is, how in the world does that promote the national security of the United States of America? I can see trade deals. I can see military transactions where we're selling weapons or making weapons available to our closest allies for their security. I can see things that go to the heart of making us and our allies more difficult to defeat, to subjugate, to take advantage of in any way. Of course, can you tell me how helping the guys in Mozambique to get circumcisions does that? See, this is what I mean, folks. But if you are a cult member, then that makes sense. Why? Because you've been told it does. And part of being in the cult is you don't question the cult. I have traveled all over this nation and talked to people, most of whom, many Christians, of course, mostly Christians, very enthusiastic about Trump. Some who like him, but don't like his style. Some who don't like him, but like his policies. I have not traveled anywhere and found everybody just whatever Donald Trump says. No, I found people with a nuanced viewpoint who are pretty much like me. I enthusiastically support him because I love what he's trying to do for the country. Doesn't mean I agree with every single thing he says or does. But these people are agreeing with things that are absolutely bizarre. They are completely disconnected from reality. And so, folks, that's what we're up against. That's why we really do need an awakening. That's the name of the program. Because this kind of thing is not something, again, that you can reason your way through. Because they're not following reason. They're following an irrational, demonic impulse. Go back to, and I'm pretty much out of time, but go back to the whole issue of same-sex marriage. When the Supreme Court in Obergefell decided that two men and two women could get married, they reversed thousands of years of human history and completely contradicted the Word of God. And you think, that didn't make a bit of sense, because two men can't be married, because it's not. God ordained the family, and God ordained marriage, and marriage can't be between two men. It just can't. Now, you can make something up and do what you want to do and just be in frank rebellion against Almighty God. Wouldn't be the first time it's been done, but it's still not going to make it right. So once you open that floodgate, and the Supreme Court engages in that bit of legal constitutional fakery, well, guess what? Well, if marriage is not what we believed it to be for thousands of years, gender is not what we believed it to be for thousands of years either. Well, wait a minute. That's why are we going there? Well, why not? Because once you destroy God's absolute standards, well, you can't destroy it. But once you say we're going to ignore God's absolute standards in this case, well, of course, there's going to be another case and another case and another case and another case. I mean, folks, we got furries. We got people running around identifying as animals. And there's enough of them that they can hold conventions and come in wearing their animal uniforms or costumes or what, I guess, I don't know what to call them. But so what is next? I guarantee, we know what's coming. We know what's coming. The darkest, most depraved things one could possibly imagine, because that's the road they started us down. Not you and me. We're not following. But that's the direction they want the country to go in. I don't know whether you all get any information from George Barna, but I just got an email from George Barna this very day. And this is why it is so critically important for us as Christians to just be, as the scripture says, steadfast, immovable, always abounding, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. 3 decades ago, 73% of the American people said that they believed in the God of the Bible. 3 decades ago, 30 years ago, that would have been 1995, right? Today, only 40% do. Now, he says, still, a lot of people say they identify as Christians. The majority of Americans say they identify as Christians, but only 4% hold a biblical worldview. 2/3 identify, 66%, but only 4% hold a biblical worldview. And he says this, he said, and many people who say they're Christians actually believe that you can be a Christian and dabble a little bit in this, that, and the other. And he said they're really syncretists who believe that, well, it's all the same thing. I'm a Christian, but it's all the same. I had somebody telling me not too long ago about a guy who claimed to be a Christian that he knew very well. Then suddenly, no, he, well, yeah, yes, he's a Christian, But he also understood that this is not the first life. There are many lives. You can come back as this, come back as that. And he's also homosexual. And claimed to be a Christian, though. You know, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We as Christians have got to take a stand against this madness, against these lies, against this deception. You know, the Antichrist is nothing. He's going to be nothing but the most prominent cult leader the world's ever known. That's all he's going to be. That's what he's going to be, the most prominent cult leader the world's ever known. Because he'll have people all brainwashed and twisted up and turned around in their thinking so that anything he says goes. No matter how horrendous it is, no matter how ungodly it is, no matter how depraved and degenerate it is, yeah, it goes. Kill your parents. You know, that's what Barack Obama's friend, that's the phrase that guy who gave Barack Obama his first fundraiser, that was his phrase. He said, in the revolution, first thing we do, go home and kill your parents. So this cult-like thinking is very much a part of the landscape that we have to deal with. And it's why we see these bizarre ideas being accepted by people. And you look and think, what? How could anybody think that way? Well, when you think about what a cult does and how it twists people's thinking and have them believing and going along with the most horrendous, ridiculous things, now you understand it. That's what we're dealing with. And of course, when you tell them that, what do they say? Oh, no, you're the problem. We are the enlightened ones. You are the problem because you're not enlightened the way we are. If you were as enlightened as we are, you'd be doing the crazy stuff we're doing. But you're not doing it because you're just not enlightened. And that's exactly what the Democrat Party said. Oh, if you all knew, if you would be calling Donald Trump a dictator too. It's like you think, oh, really? Okay. We've got to pray these people out of this stuff. But I tell you what, whether they come out of it or not, we're going to leave them in the rear because Donald Trump and Christians are setting a new course for our country's future. We're getting the country back on track. And those who don't like it, whether they're in Hollywood or they're in sports or whatever they are, those who don't like it, they can just lag behind and become a footnote in human history as the people who look back on where historians will say, and yeah, there was a group of people who believed all the crazy stuff, but they ultimately got rejected by the American people. And some of them just kind of lost their way or left the country or whatever. And others finally saw the light and joined in with the America that was intended to be a Judeo-Christian-based constitutional republic. That's who we are. And the people who don't like that, don't let the doorknob hit you on the way out. Because that's who we are, and that's where we're going to be, and we're not letting any cult of any party or movement lead us in another direction. And thank God for Donald Trump, who is providing the trumpet that we need to help sound the alarm for the destruction that these people have been foisting on our country. But no more. The ship of state is turning, and the culture is turning as well. Well, look, God bless each and every one of you. Again, folks, be encouraged. No matter how bad things might look, the path of the righteous is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. We're going up, not down. The sun is rising for America, not setting. Because the God we serve is able. So God bless each and every one of you. I've got to go. I've gone way over my time. But look, you stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.